This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and this is the place in the Mid-Valley to hear all the important things that you want to know about our region and our quality of life. We talk about local initiatives, ideas, institutions, and individuals here, and today I've got an individual to talk about a topic that's a little different for us here at Newsmakers, but couldn't be more important. Dave and I are going to spend the hour smiling. We're going to talk while we're smiling because we do have a difficult subject matter, but we're going to be joyful about it. Good joyful souls about it. It's so important for us all because, face it, folks, one thing we all know about this life of ours here on Earth is we're not getting out alive. And so I invited to the studio to have a discussion about some end-of-life issues that we're all going to face, and a lot of us are facing them with our parents.
True.
We may have faced them with their grandparents. We may have had an untimely death in the family, but a lot of times we're talking about aging. The baby boomers are not just retiring, but they're also dying off, and a lot of us are becoming caregivers. There's a lot of people in our community that are sandwich generations where they've still got kids in the home and or in college, but they're caring for their kids and they're caring for their parents. So I've invited in Melissa Lindley. Melissa works for Willamette Valley Hospice. And folks, Americans, we just have a very strange attitude about death, and we're going to talk about that. We are going to, maybe educate and illuminate a little bit. Melissa, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
So you are the community outreach coordinator. Your job is to be out in the community and helping people understand the services of Willamette Valley Hospice.
You got it.
All right, let's start with the very basics. What's a hospice? What the heck? What's a hospice?
Well, hospice is a philosophy of care. Many people think hospice is a place. Maybe a place you go when you have a few days or weeks or months left to live. But in reality, hospice is really a way of living the last months of your life. And that's with a goal of really, instead of curing an illness, to live the best quality of life somebody can with whatever time they have left to live.
So what's the, there's another term, palliative care. Where's the drawing line between palliative and hospice care?
Yeah, that's a great question because really it's all the buzz right now. If you read articles, you hear on the news, it's all about palliative care. And so we can think about palliative care as, well, you can see where the word came from, right? To palliate, to ease. So palliative care is any kind of treatment that eases symptoms. So you might think of pain management, but it could be other ways of easing bothersome symptoms for someone. And anybody can receive palliative care at whatever stage of life they're in. Maybe you have a bad back and you get massaged to ease the pain in your back, right? But in hospice is a form of palliative care. So when we provide hospice care, we're providing palliative care. We happen to have at Willamette Valley Hospice a home-based palliative care program and a hospice program. So we have both, and that differs a little bit.
All right, Melissa, how long have you been with Willamette Valley Hospice?
I've been there over 11 years now.
No.
Yeah.
You're not in the studio with us here, folks, but that would mean Melissa started when she was 13. She looks so young.
Not so much.
You've been there 11 years.
Yes.
Holy cow. And have you always been in this outreach coordinator position?
My first year, I was a volunteer coordinator. That's okay. How I came to Willamette Valley Hospice. And
okay.
It was a wonderful job. But then this outreach coordinator position opened up, and I thought it'd be a lot of fun. And I was right. So I've stayed there ever since.
Let's do some rapid fire questions, shall
okay.
we? All right. So Willamette Valley Hospice, obviously, to the name, it's local.
Yes. Right?
It's been around how long?
Oh, 41 years now.
For-profit or nonprofit?
Nonprofit.
Faith-based or not faith-based?
Not specifically faith-based. We're run by a board of directors, and so they all have their own, you know, faiths or religious beliefs.
The only game in town or not the only game in town?
Not the only game in town.
Okay.
Only game in town that's a nonprofit.
Really? So there are for-profit hospice services?
Yes, and most are. We're actually nationwide nonprofit freestanding hospices are a shrinking bunch. So we're becoming more of a minority in that way. It used to be all hospices were either run by volunteers mm-hmm. as nonprofits or part of a hospital system or county government public health system. But now the majority are for-profit corporations, maybe based in a whole nother state.
And how many of those? For-profit. Mm. Huh. And I would imagine that none of those really are faith-based organizations.
Not that I know of, no.
Very interesting. All right, next question. How big is the Willamette Valley Hospice in terms of a number of employees and a number of volunteers?
Yeah, so we have about 120-ish employees on staff. And for volunteers, I don't have a recent number, but usually it's around in the 200-ish range.
So who volunteers? Who volunteers?
Yeah.
That's two questions. Who volunteers? Hey, you know what? I think I'm going to go down and help those end-of-life people, right? Mm-hmm. It takes a special breed. Mm-hmm. And so who volunteers? And the second follow-up question to that is, in what roles and capacities do they serve?
It really depends on what the volunteer wants to do. So some people come to us after a loved one has passed away and they had such a positive experience with hospice and it was so helpful to them that they want to give back. So our volunteer Mary, for example, that was her situation. And she said, I've been a teacher my whole life. I'm retired. My husband's passed away. I'm ready to give back. And so now she helps at outreach events. She goes to health fairs and speaking events and tells her hospice story.
Oh.
So for others, they maybe would really like to sit with someone who maybe their caregiver needs a break and needs to go out and have their own medical appointment or run and get groceries or something like that. And so they'll go sit with a hospice patient so their family caregiver can take a respite break.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. 200. Did that surprise you, Dave?
That's a lot of volunteers.
And 120, that's a pretty good size organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say the other thing is some of those volunteers, they might like to just volunteer with special events. So they just come in for special events and help us set luminarias up in the park or get our walk and wag ready. And then other volunteers, they may be seeing a patient every single week or coming into the office to help with projects every single week. So every volunteer, you know, has a different schedule and a different availability, and we honor whatever it is that works for their life.
How many people go through a period of declining health and illness and do not call a hospice service?
Well, I mean, certainly there are a lot of people that come to hospice just in their last day or two of life, unfortunately. I mean, any amount of time you can receive hospice care is important and can be helpful to both the patient and maybe even more importantly to their family to receive that grief support after their loved one passes away. But certainly there are some people that, you know, hospice is just not their choice, and everyone has that choice to make. That's why I really encourage people to learn about hospice long before anyone needs it mm-hmm. so that someone can think about, is this something I would want if I were in an end-of-life situation? And who would advocate or get hospice on board for me if that's what I would want?
Yeah, because that's a very good point in terms of knowing about it before you need it. Because people need to know, is there a cost? And all these things we're going to talk about. So it's a good thing we have newsmakers here in the Mid-Valley to talk about these things, right? You were saying that hospice is a philosophy of care, and it's not a place, which we're going to talk about, folks. And I have my own hospice story, so we'll get to that probably in the second segment here today. But I think of it as a series of services, right?
Sure.
Or a menu of services.
Absolutely. Because
it's not all the same. And so not everybody has to call you. Nobody has to call the hospice people, right? It just might be easier if you did.
That's right? True.
So describe for me, I'm a family member and grandma's deteriorating and the hospital says we're going to have to release her or she's in a care home or she's going to bring her home, but you know, you're going to need some help. Then you give us the social worker at Salem Health gives us your card, right? What are you going to offer them?
Yeah, so our first step, whether it's a physician office that reaches out to us or if it's a family member, then our first step is to reach back out to the family and to offer to come out and sit down and talk with them face-to-face, answering any of their questions about hospice, explaining what the service is and what it would look like. And then we're going to say, you know, here are the services that are included. It's a registered nurse to come and check in regularly to help manage any medications or symptom management issues, to do all that communicating with the doctor and the pharmacy so that you don't have to. It's going to be a CNA that could come and help with bathing, nail care, how you shampoo someone's hair when they can't get out of bed anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, our CNAs know how to do that. Or maybe it's light housekeeping that you could use some help with. A social worker can help the family if they're having issues, maybe coming to terms with the diagnosis, or how do we explain to the grandkids that we're probably in grandma's last months? Well, our social workers are there to help with that. And then we have a whole host of other team members that can be added in off that menu, like you said, Brent. If people want, perhaps music therapy could help manage a symptom, or massage therapy could help ease some pain or help with insomnia. Maybe they'd like a spiritual counselor to come visit them. They haven't been able to get to their church for a long time because of their health, and it sure would be nice to have someone come visit them. Maybe they could use the help of a volunteer or have a pet therapy volunteer come and visit. So we have all these services that are really optional, and some families say, bring it all. And other families say, well, let's start slow and I'll see how I feel about a volunteer coming to visit,
right,
for example.
Right. And of course, there's all the questions that on the day, who do we call?
Right.
On the day, what happens? What does that look like? And, you know, I'm an information junkie and I think that's apparent to the listeners. So I want to know all of these things and want to be prepared for all of these things. And other people might have some discomfort with having complete strangers, no matter how well intended, come into their home and offer services. So very interesting. We're going to get to, I want to talk about, hey, who pays for all this? Should we be afraid that it's just going to be another bill on top of the hospital bills and the funeral home bill and things like that? So all of those services, when do we call? What does it cost? And where does it take place? We're getting to that right after this. We're talking to Melissa Lindley of Willamette Valley Hospice. Stay with us. We're going to be talking. Hey, we're talking end of life here on Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430. KYKN Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and today we're talking end-of-life issues and hospice. Hospice, we hear the word, and some of us have gone through it. A lot of people experienced it, but there's so many questions surrounding it. And I just feel like it's an odd, well, you might feel it's an odd topic for Newsmakers, but I think that it is something that touches all of our lives here, all of us here in our community in the Mid-Valley. And we should know before we have to utilize. So I want to bring this information to you. And Americans have such a strange connection to end of life. We hold on to it like no other culture, it feels like. It feels like Europeans have a different culture about end of life, and Asians have a different opinion and culture about end of life, that it is a passing. And I don't know if it's a faith-based issue or just a cultural issue that we need to hold on no matter how bad it gets.
Or not talk about it at all.
Or not talk about it.
Yeah.
not talk about
it. Avoid it.
I had the good fortune.
It happens to everybody else. Right? Or it happens to everybody else, but not me.
It is happening, but I'm not going to say it out loud.
Yeah, right?
And mom's passing, but I'm not going to talk to mom about her passing.
Right. And that's not good. It's not healthy.
It's a very difficult thing to talk about in the loss. I had a good fortune. And by the way, in the studio with us, Melissa Lindley, she's with Willamette Valley Hospice. She's the community outreach coordinator. There is an event coming up in November, which we'll let you know about. But I promised you my own hospice experience, and we called Willamette Valley Hospice 4 years ago. My father passed away, and many people in the community knew George, and he was a great guy. And we had the great fortune of him being with us and able to make his own decisions and direct things and holding family meetings. And it was kind of a delight. But I was describing this to Melissa, that Willamette Valley Hospice was so helpful, I really didn't even know what was happening.
Really?
You know, somebody, they brought a hospital bed appeared on my dad's back porch, right? And things just happened on the day of, and I don't know. It was very seamless. It was very unintrusive. We did hire outside help, but it was such a relief. You know, it was such a relief to have people there that are there to help them. They know what they're doing and they've gone through the process and so forth. So, you know, thank you for that. It made it easier. You were at Willamette Valley Hospice at the time, but this was just 2015, but it made it easier for our entire family.
And that is absolutely the goal, right? To try to make a really difficult time for a family just a little bit easier.
And so we talked a little bit about, and that was a long list of services, you know, from, you know, spiritual counseling to CNA to RN to music therapy, dog friend therapy to respite and all of these things, a long and list of services. And some of them you do in a facility. I mean, some of you have a hospice location, right, in West Salem?
Right. We have an administrative building, and that's where our teams come once a week, and they talk about their patients all around a table. So that way, if, you know, Mr. Smith has not had very many visitors at his care facility and is seeming kind of lonely, the volunteer coordinator can pipe up and say, hey, would he like a volunteer to come visit? And the nurse can say, I think he'd really like that. Let's get that on board. So they talk face to face, and as well as on email throughout the week a lot. But it's really, that's where our administrative building is. But we also have the Edward F. Tokarski home next door. And that's a licensed adult foster home, specialized, run by a registered nurse and staffed by CNAs for 5 hospice patients.
5. Wow. Mm-hmm. So of 100 people who are clients of Willamette Valley Hospice, can you break it down for us? How many people you're serving in their own home or in a care facility or in... She's thinking about it. She's calculating in her head.
Yeah, that's hard to say because, as you might imagine, you know, every day is a little different. Today, we're serving about 202 people on hospice care in, you know, our community. And so some of those are going to be 5 of them, right? Might be living at the Edward F. Tokarski home. A lot of them, over half, are going to be living in their own home or wherever they called home.
Over half.
That could be an independent living. That could be their own house, their apartment building. And then a large percentage also might live in a different kind of care facility, assisted living or residential care facility, somewhere they've been getting care.
In hospital?
I was just going to say, you're reading my mind. That, you know, once in a while, also when someone's symptoms can't be managed at home or it doesn't seem like they'd be able to make it home, then we can provide hospice actually in the hospital also.
Yeah, that's great. Costs. We were talking about that before the break. So all of these services and 120 employees, which you surprised me there. It's a good size organization. 200 volunteers, a building, the hospice home. How do those costs get paid?
Right. So a variety of sources. And so Medicare covers hospice care.
Okay.
But it doesn't cover a lot of those other services we talked about, music therapy, massage, pet therapy, volunteer services, grief services, and it doesn't cover home-based palliative care or the Tokarski home. So it covers the hospice services someone receives in their home, including the medical equipment and any medications they may need to stay comfortable. And so we're fortunate that Medicare and 99.9% of insurances cover hospice.
Really? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's flesh that out really quickly. So if we got family members in declining health, and we should be having this conversation, folks, we can't shy away from this.
This is true.
We should have to have this conversation. So nobody should be afraid to call you.
No.
So if this person is in declining health, but they're 45, they could still get services and have it paid for their private insurance potentially.
Yes. And if for some reason they didn't have insurance, or they were so ill for so long, they lost their job and lost their insurance. We are a nonprofit. It's part of our mission statement that we don't turn anybody away for inability to pay.
You want to say that again?
We don't turn anybody away for inability to pay.
We're talking to Melissa Lindley of Willamette Valley Hospice. She's the community outreach coordinator. Before we get to the next break, I do want to talk about your event coming up, because it sounds like its goal is very much aligned with my goal of inviting you here today, is giving people information that they need before they're in crisis mode.
Absolutely. So we're hosting a symposium at Center 50 Plus on November 9th. It's just a morning, 8 to noon. If you could spend a Saturday morning with us, then you'll learn all about untangling the challenges of aging. So it's really geared towards people that are wanting to learn all the intricacies of things they might want to think of for their later years and even their final few years of life. So we'll have speakers that are going to talk about financial and legal issues. I'll be doing a workshop on advanced directives and POLST and how those forms have changed this year. And then we'll also have speakers about how to have these kind of conversations with your family.
We did have an estate planning attorney on about a month ago here on Newsmakers, and so we talked about advanced directives a little bit, and POLST, which of course is an acronym that only the government would make up, but it's your physician's instructions and what you want for end of care. Folks, if you are going to go into a coma, if you are going to slip into unconsciousness, you want to have made your own decisions about your care before it happens.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. I mean, yes, I am obsessed with information, having the information, but I want to make my own decisions.
Absolutely.
You want to make your own decisions, because then you don't want family to fight over the decisions, which we've seen in America. And you don't want your spouse to have to wrestle with, did I make the right or wrong decisions?
Oh,
can you imagine
so
how torturous that would be?
I can't imagine.
So the spot, well, did I want? Did Dave want this? Will Dave want that? Am I going to let him go? I know I don't want to, but maybe he doesn't want, you know, you make those decisions ahead of time.
And what would Brent want?
I don't want to be a burden. For me, that's
you know, my mom told me that recently, and it kind of floored me at first.
It's a common concern.
She's like, I'm like, well, what do you want, Mom? She's like, I don't want to be a burden. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? You know, and then she explained it all out to me, what she wants. So I have an idea in case something ever happens to my dad as well. So,
well, kudos so to important. You for having that conversation with her.
It was tough.
Yeah.
But I did it.
It is tough. And we need to have them with their spouses as well. And we need to have them with our kids.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So, all right. Well, Willamette Valley Hospice, mostly it is it's paid for by insurance. And there are other services that are optional that if you want to pay out of pocket and so forth.
No, actually, those services, we don't charge for those services. But we are so lucky to have community support and people that help us by sending donations. And that helps pay for those things like massage and music therapy, pet therapy, volunteer services,
okay,
all of those extra grief services.
All right, we got more to talk about, folks. So we got Melissa Lindley here. We're talking end of life care and when to call hospice and what they have and Willamette Valley Hospice. And we're going to come back and talk about their competitors and who's offering which and how do we decide. Should we call them or should we call somebody else? Where does this take place? And when do we call? When do we make that decision? And who makes the determination that you qualify, right? This is Brent DeHart, and Dave Bourne and I are talking to Melissa Lindley. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. It is a delight to have you with us today as we talk into life, all this fun things that Americans don't like to talk about and how odd it is we don't want to talk about. I don't know. I mean, I talk about it a lot. So in my profession,
yes, he
I
does.
Deal with long-term care issues because it is so critical. I talk about life insurance because we're all going. And there's two things that are certain in life, right?
Death and taxes.
Death and taxes. And a lot of those intersect with life insurance, of course. And I just, you know, we're all going. The question is, for me, is I want to make the decisions before I go. I want to make decisions what happens with the money before I go. I want to make decisions about my care before I go. So I don't know. I don't think as Americans we need to be so uptight about having the discussions. But we do. We're afraid to talk to our parents about it. Right? Do you find that? You move in and like people are clammed up about it? We're talking to Melissa Lindley of Willamette Valley Hospice.
It's interesting. So a lot of times when I'm giving workshops about advanced directives out in the community, I hear folks that say, gosh, I try to talk to my adult children about it, but they say, Mom, you're young. I don't want to talk about it. You know, mm-hmm. So sometimes it's those adult kids that don't want to hear it. And that's understandable. None of us want to think about our parents not being here. You know, that's a sad thought for all of us. But I think those adult children don't know how lucky they are that their parents want to talk about it, make their wishes known, make those plans, because it adds a whole different level of a stress to a situation, especially if someone suddenly has a stroke or a heart attack or a sudden health affliction, a cancer diagnosis that's very serious. Then all of a sudden, a whole lot of decisions have to be made. And wouldn't it be nice if some of those conversations had been started earlier?
I had this conversation about just a few weeks ago here in the community. Actually, a good friend of mine was overseeing services for his close friend. And he went on and on. We had a long conversation about what his friend would have wanted and how he felt about faith issues and life issues and so on and so forth. And so I turned to him and said, hey, have you made your service plans yet? He thought I was talking about the services that he was going to, you know, administer, right? Mm. You know, he was going to you know, lead. And he says, yeah, I think I've got my speech down and I'm pretty confident in what I'm going to say. I'm like, no, I mean yours. I mean yours. No. And the interesting thing is that there's been a number of health issues in his immediate circle. So I'm like, all right, death is a reality for all of us, and it's really on the forefront. You need to communicate to your wife, to your friend, and it's like, well, what do you want? Because it comes at a time, Melissa, that in all those scenarios that you said, it might be a stroke, it might be that you're in pain and you're drugged, but you're not competent to communicate. And can you imagine the peace that would come for you if you had already communicated versus, holy cow, I never told them this is what I want, this is what I don't want.
Right.
Right? I don't want them to do this to me if my condition deteriorates. I do want them to do this if I don't want them. You know, what if the family's like, well, are we going to, how are we going to choose burial or, right?
Or cremation.
Or cremation. Yeah. And having not communicated that ahead of time.
Sure. Right.
So, folks, it's a conversation we have to have, and I appreciate you sitting through Newsmakers and talking about something that's a little different than taxes and politics and so forth. So,
Willamette
Valley Hospice. Yeah, we need a break for some of that.
Yes.
Willamette Valley Hospice is a nonprofit. It's been in town a long time, 120 employees, but now there are other hospice agencies. How do we know who to call?
Well, one thing that's important is if someone has Medicare, they have a choice of their hospice. They get to choose. Sometimes an insurance provider may have a contract with a hospice, and so there may not be as much choice if you have a private insurance company. For example, we have the contract for Kaiser Permanente. So, but anyone that has Medicare will have a choice of their hospice provider, and you can call and ask around. That's another, you know, pro of looking into these issues ahead of time, is that you can learn about the different agencies before you have to make that decision. You can imagine if you're at the hospital, all of a sudden you learn that your loved one needs hospice and they say, hey, here's a list of 8 hospices in the area. Which one would you like? Yikes, how do I choose?
Right.
So some of the things to think about is if it's important to you that the agency be a nonprofit or a for-profit, right? That's obviously important to me. I work for a nonprofit, so it's important to me. I love that I can just go upstairs and the executive director's right there, that we're owned by the community and that we have a board of directors that I see out in our community every day, you know? I think that's really important. That any extra we receive is invested back to help our patients and families right here in our community, not to shareholders across the country. So you can decide if that's important to you. How about extra services? All hospices have to provide registered nurses, social workers, CNAs. But the rest of those services can vary hospice to hospice. What does their grief support look like? Who's running that? Is it a counselor? Mm-hmm. Or is it a nurse or someone like me? You know, who is running those services? What are the experience level of the nurses? Are they fresh out of school or have they been experienced registered nurses for a long time? These are the kind of questions I would ask for my family member if I didn't already know the answers around here.
Yeah, I was going to say it would be hard for a person, especially if they're already in crisis mode, to go through a period of evaluation.
Absolutely.
Right.
No, that's when you go, oh, just take care of it.
I mean, Melissa. Yeah,
right? And hope for the best.
That's not how you want it.
Melissa is a community outreach coordinator for Willamette Valley Hospice, but there are other hospice options. And, you know, I think that she's a homer, of course, for Willamette Valley Hospice. But we do want to know what makes for a good one. So what makes for a good hospice that we should look for? And thank you for offering some of those ideas in terms of, you know, where are they centered, where are they located, and who's doing the services? Because it can vary greatly, just like it can in a care home.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay, so there are other ones. November event, I want to touch on that again, because I think it's going to be really important for people who attend. Folks, you can TiVo the football, right? I know it's November, but you can TiVo the football and come back and you watch it without commercials. So November 9th, it's Saturday, right?
It is.
So 8 to 12. So Saturday morning, is there food?
Yes, there'll be morning refreshments.
Yay, okay.
We'll get you out of there before lunch.
People can have the coffee.
And you get to choose the topics you want to learn about. So we'll have lots of different choices.
Really?
Like a breakout session.
Breakout sessions, and you choose what you want to know about.
So they might be medical, they might be social, they might be
maybe
financial.
You want to learn about senior housing. We'll have a session on that.
Oh, nice.
Maybe you've always been curious about how that Oregon Death with Dignity law works. We'll have a session on that.
Yes, and a lot of questions surrounding that.
Sure.
That is awesome. Center 50 plus.
Untangling the challenges of aging, and we are asking for people to register ahead of time so we know how many to expect.
And how do they do that?
At WVH.org, like Willamette Valley Hospice.
WVH.org.
You got it. Or calling us. We're happy to register you over the phone if you're not into the computer.
Untangling the
challenges of aging.
Challenge. That's a very nice way to put it, isn't it?
It's a challenge to age.
Yeah, come on down and let's handle all the tough conversations all at once. Do we have like attorneys there that are going to help answer questions?
We'll have attorneys from Collier Law that will talk about legal issues that you should be aware of, maybe documents you want to have in order as you get older.
Okay. And now, speaking of documents, we got to correct something I said last term. Last session. So the POLST wasn't invented by the government. It was initiated, and I was corrected by Melissa during the break, at OHSU.
Right. They have a center for the Pulsed. And
now tell the listener what a Pulsed is.
Yeah, Pulsed. Well, now it's called a Portable Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment. It's a medical order that a physician or nurse practitioner, PA, has to sign. And it's sometimes commonly known as a DNR, Do Not Resuscitate Order. And that's because it's useful for people that have a really advanced illness or are frail or, you know, like my grandma who's 93. If her heart stops, she doesn't want it started again. She's lived a good long life, and she knows that if CPR was performed on her, it'd be really unlikely she'd get back to the same quality of life that she has today. And my grandpa's passed on, and she feels really grateful for the long life she's lived so far. So she has a Pulsed that says, do not resuscitate on it. Now, someone else's might say, yes, please resuscitate. But it's a place that when you're sort of more towards the latter years of your life or in a terminal illness situation, then it could be a handy document to have just in case 911 is called, something happens, your heart stops, and your wishes are known to the EMS providers that show up at your door.
Well, it must be hard also to have it at the ready, right?
Well, we're very lucky in Oregon that we have an electronic registry. So when a physician signs one of those, and you can ask your doctor about this form, the Pulsed, when a doctor signs one of those, then you get a little card to carry with you. It's bright pink. And simultaneously, your wishes and your doctor's orders go right into an electronic database so that those EMS, the ambulance folks, can pull that up.
Okay. Wow. So many things. We're talking about with Melissa Lindley while I'm at Valley Hospice, end of life, but also just responsible decision making while we can, right? Yeah, we're all going to go, folks. Let's go under our own terms and not have things done to us we don't want to have done to us. And let's make the families not just burdened, but families walk a little easier. All right, we're going to finish up right after this, maybe tell a little more personal stories, but we'll wrap up with Melissa and our talk with Willamette Valley Hospice right after this on Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Color Tile Salem.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. We're going to finish up the hour here with Melissa Lindley, my guest here from Willamette Valley Hospice, talking about all these critically important things that typically we don't talk about, right? So hospice issues, end of life, and people should call hospice sooner than later and find out who they want to work with and what the services are, and so the people can help you when you're not already in just like emotional crisis mode, right? When their health is deteriorating, and you're saying that Medicare and private insurance often pays for these services, when do they qualify? Who's the determining person that says you qualify and we will pay for these services?
Sure. Well, some of those studies show that about 90% of Americans say they expect their physician to bring it up when they qualify for hospice, right? So they figure, hey, if I qualify for hospice, my doctor will tell me. Mm-hmm. But I hate to tell you that about 50% of physicians in the U.S. don't feel comfortable having end-of-life conversations.
Wow, that's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, who are we going to have them with? Well, our pastor, of course.
Right.
Our pastor, our priest.
You tell him everything.
But I think what that tells us, and you can imagine, you go to the doctor. They have a very short time to see you. This is a really big topic. They might think, well, I really like to have an end-of-life conversation with this person, but I don't know if they're ready to have an end-of-life conversation. I might be opening a big can of worms and an emotional subject, and I'm supposed to see the next client in 15 minutes, right? Yeah. I mean, that's really a tricky scenario the way our system is set up. So I encourage people to have those conversations with their doctors to say, if they have a serious illness, hey, I want to know about hospice. you know, don't be afraid to talk to me about it. Basically, I'm open to it. Also, folks can call hospice directly. They don't have to wait for a referral from their physician.
Oh, good to know.
If they feel like their loved one's health has changed quite dramatically, if they've been making a lot of trips to the emergency room over the last year, you know, then it might be worth a call just to say, hey, should we be thinking about palliative care? Should we be thinking about hospice? Or when might we think about it, and what would we be looking for?
So if my health's deteriorating, what's the dividing line? I'm expected to only have a lifespan of how many more months?
6 months or less to live for hospice.
And some people go on hospice and recover and they come off.
Absolutely.
So that happens too. It's happened to some friends of mine and dealing with family issues. So if you're just joining us, hospice has such a broad list of services, and we've gone over them, but of course there are nursing assistances and counseling and CNA services and PET and respite and bereavement services that Willamette Valley Hospice has. Such a broad range of services, and it's better to have the conversation earlier. And insurance covers a lot of it. So, and when do you call them? Sooner than later, right?
Right. You got it.
I know that we were talking about your event coming up on November 9th at Center 50 Plus, 8 to 12 in the morning. There will be attorneys there. I know Ryan Collier. I've heard him speak, and he will say when you're 18, you need some of these documents.
The
HIPAA document you need to have, sometimes an advance directive as
Absolutely.
Well, if you can have that conversation as a young person. But again, it helps to have them at the ready. And of
I
course,
actually
the post.
Give workshops out at Western Oregon University
really?
On completing advance directives.
Wow. Yeah. That's part of your community outreach. Yes, Melissa Lindley is the community outreach coordinator for Willamette Valley Hospice. And that I think what surprises people, I don't know about you, Dave, that is how many different places that people can receive hospice care.
Right? Absolutely.
In your Willamette Valley's own facility, where you have 5 beds, right? But also in a care facility, a nursing home facility, assisted living, in a person's private home, potentially in the hospital. It can happen just about anywhere. And you are kind of coordinating with the family and the medical services, right?
Absolutely.
And also the funeral homes.
Yes, we communicate. And, you know, some people, if they haven't done that kind of planning and they come into hospice and they say, gosh, I really want to have a say in what my memorial service looks like.
Yes.
Or I want to make sure that those plans are made so my family doesn't have to worry about those afterwards. Then our social worker can help them know their options for that, too.
So regulations play into this a little bit. I mean, in terms of what the definition of hospice is, or when you can be in what kind of care?
Right. So 6 months or less is the prognosis for someone to be in hospice care. And then for our home palliative care program, generally it might be someone that has 12 to 18 months of a prognosis. And that is if someone's health continues to sort of go the way it's been going mm-hmm. for the last while. Now, we have yet to find a crystal ball that works. So that means life still surprises us, even in hospice care. And like you mentioned, Brent, people can get better on hospice. Sometimes when their pain is managed, then they feel better and they have more energy. Life is still a mystery in that way. And we just meet people where they're at.
Wow, awesome. And with a team approach.
Absolutely.
A caring team approach, 200 volunteers. That is awesome. It's nice to see that you have so much support in the community. We didn't even talk about the fundraising. But I know if you have an opportunity to support Willamette Valley Hospice, I would encourage you to do it. And encourage you to go to their event November 9th at Center 50 Plus from 8 to 12 in the morning. And it's called
Untangling the Challenges of Aging.
Melissa Lindley, thank you for being with us. We've got to go. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. I hope you learned something today with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.